Can you hear the music? Fuck yeah, a lot of people can't hear it, man.
Yeah, I got it set up.
Yeah, it gets me quite fucking fired up there.
I made that for you.
Oh, we'll get into that. Alright, welcome back to another episode of On the Throne with Dick. And shout out to Senjin Boychuk. You know, he is a journeyman electrician out of Regina who, very much like yourself, he's a singer, songwriter, you know, he has a band, he does his thing, but he joined the blue collar trades so he could pay for that lifestyle, you know, and it's a very expensive journey, as you would know, right? But yeah, shout out to him. Find him everywhere on the socials, man. He's not a very big creator, but he's everywhere. YouTube, TikTok, Instagram. He's doing his thing. And, you know, very excited to talk about or have on this week's guest, man. And there's a lot of people that are going to be excited about this one because I don't know if you've noticed, but people have tagged me in your comments and have tagged you in mine. When is the Too Deep podcast going to come out? When are we going to get Too Deep on the throne? And you and I have been talking about it for a while. We're making it happen, you know. So shout out to, you know, Too Deep 2020.
Thanks, buddy. I appreciate you bringing me on here. I know it's been a long time coming. We discussed what, probably close to 2 years ago we were talking about doing this.
The podcast just turned two, like 2 weeks ago, man. We just turned two. And yeah, I remember when I was getting it going, you were one of the first people I reached out to get on, right? I was in Fox Creek. You were in Fox Creek. You were on the pipeline, I believe, there. And yes, I was also on the Hydrovac there. And, you know, I was like, fuck, there's the guy from TikTok. And I was also the guy from TikTok. So I was like, fuck, we got to get this guy, you know?
Yeah, but. Yeah, so how's that going? Anyway, the podcast, I've been meaning to ask you about that. How's the numbers and stuff? Like, do you have a Spotify for artists for your podcast so you can track the analytics and everything?
I do, man. And the podcast is doing really well. We're 2 years deep into her. You know, we're coming up on 25,000 downloads total, which I mean, you know, it's pretty good, I think, 25,000 total, which is, you know, all across the world. We're listened to in Russia and all over Europe. Australia has some listeners. Canada, the U.S. is the main base, but like it's everywhere. We're getting out there, you know. Yeah, man, we're having a lot of fun with it. And I've stopped chasing numbers and just started having the conversation, you know, because like, you know, there's a lot of people out there that, you know, that want to feel like there's someone, right? And if I start chasing numbers and being like, you know, oh man, I didn't get my, you know, 100,000 downloads or whatever like that, that invalidates the 25,000 downloads it does have. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I'm just curious, though, to see how it goes. Like, if you have the same kind of thing, like, you know, obviously that we have that as musicians, and it's real easy to get caught up, like looking at your analytics every day and be like, oh, I'm doing better than yesterday. It's like watching the stock market, except for there's not really any monetary gain to be had when you're at that low of numbers anyway. So,
yeah, man, you know, it's a lot of fun, you know, like you said, it's like the stock market, right? Because I have noticed that, like, you know, at certain times, the numbers, the amount of people listening drops, right? But it's, you're not in it. Same with what you're in it for, right? We're in it for the long game. We're not in it for the immediate, like, hey, what's it doing right now? How's it doing all time, right? And man, I know I had an episode come out because it comes out every Tuesday. I had an episode come out Christmas Eve. Obviously, that one shit the bed. And then I had another one the very next week's came out on New Year's Eve. Obviously, that one shit the bed, right? So,
yeah, it can be tough, eh?
Yeah, well, hey, you know what, man? I like it. I've got sponsors for the podcast. I've got lots of listeners, people that give me feedback all the time, and that's all you could really ask for, right? So, I like it, man. You know, there's some stats behind the podcasting game, like only. Not very many podcasts, like 99% of podcasts don't make it past episode like 15 to 20, right? Like right. Most drop off after that. It's a lot of work. It takes a lot of your time. And, you know, most people are in it for the instant gratification, right? So, you know, I think it's something like if you can make it past episode 50 or something like that, you're in the top 0.1% of podcasters.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's
yeah, I've definitely been, I've been considering doing a podcast of my own. Like, I've got, you know, a lot of different networks out there.
You should call it The Deep End or something.
Yeah, I have all sorts of different ideas. Honestly, I feel like that's one of my specialties in life is I'm kind of an idea generator, and I just constantly coming up with different ideas for maybe I can get rich on this, or I can invent that, or I can help this, or do that, or, you know, I've always got something weird up my sleeve. I'm usually working on a bunch of things that I shouldn't be when I'm trying to focus on just a few things, you know.
Yeah, well, I mean, five kids, man. Five kids.
Four kids.
Sorry, man. I'm putting some of that voodoo on you. You know, you're going to go to bed tonight and St. Charity's going to be like, in like a week from now, she's going to be like, hey, I'm pregnant again, you know?
No, we got them snipped up.
That's good. Hey, man, I'm working on that. I'm leaving it open for, I think we're giving it a year. And if we can't plant another seed within that year, it's time to put them on the chopping block. I'll throw them on the table and take a sledgehammer to them if I got to, you know? So. Yeah. That's the window, man. And if I'm any older than I am now, fuck that. I don't want no back problems while I'm trying to chase around a kid, you know?
Yeah. I just came off a little back injury myself.
Oh, shit. What happened?
Oh, I went for a visit to the chiropractor. I had this regular upper back pains from being a welder, and he leaned his 350-pound ass on my ribs and popped a few ribs out. So I was had probably five or six ribs out, I bet.
Fuck, man. So I go to my chiropractor quite regularly for the last 10 years, and it's because I had some ribs out. And I thought it was back pain. I thought I was having back issues 10 years ago. And he was feeling right. I was like, man, those are your ribs. Often gets presented as back pain, as a back problem, yeah. Right? I'm like, oh shit! And he snapped it back in, and oh, dude, I felt it was life changing, right? So like, you know, I go. He became a buddy. We're buddies now. So like, I go there just sometimes. I just throw my benefit card at him and be like, hey, man, let's chat for an hour. You know, here, like, you know, I wanna have therapy or whatever, a chiro session too. Just, you know. Pop them back in and let's talk for the rest of the time. You know, I don't care.
Yeah. Well, honestly, yeah. I don't really enjoy going to see chiropractors. I've been using osteopath for the last few years. Ever since I had a different back injury, I started using osteopath and I found it's much better. They don't just go freaking smashing your bones around. Like, you got to work the muscles and allow the bones to go back into where they need to be.
Yeah, man. Yep. So you said we all know anyone who's listening to this that knows who you are, and you know, you're a welder, right? You're a welder by trade, and I've met you on the pipeline. So, you know, like how long you been doing that for, and like what got you into welding, and what kept you besides the money, what kept you going?
Oh, well, I started welding back in, would have been 2001, I believe it was. I went to work for Paderni's, WPW, the Red Army. And I helped the welder back then. And that was the first kind of introduction into the whole thing that I had actually experienced. But then I ended up over at Bunch. And Bunch has a whole bunch of welders there. So I was like, okay, well, I need to make money. And I might as well try to further myself while I'm here trying to make money. And So I said, okay, I'm just going to get my apprenticeship. And I did the apprenticeship. And one thing led to another. That was the only thing I thought was an option. So, you know, I pursued that until I rigged up. Now we've got four kids later, and I'm still rigged up. And I haven't really got too much further ahead in life, really, in lots of ways. You know what I mean? Just financially, it's not like you can make a ton of money running a welding truck and running your own business and stuff, but what comes in goes out for the most part. None of us are really taught very well on how to manage or invest our money, so it's kind of like I'm learning now when I'm 40 about how to do all this stuff so that I don't have to weld anymore.
Yeah, well, Yeah, man. So when did you weld up? When did you start rigging up? When did you get your own truck going?
2011.
2011. So you've been through a couple downturns with your own truck then.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, man. Fuck, that's got to suck, dude. Like, as a guy who owns a company, you know, that has to be extra hard. Because I know as a guy who's just a grunt, you know, like, that was, you know, 2014, 2015, that was stressful as fuck, right?
Yeah, dude. 2008 was bad. 2000, yeah, there was a few different times there where it got pretty rough.
Yeah, I remember in 2015, I ended up in northern Manitoba piling, doing screw piles. And we were up there, and I remember I got laid off from Husky Sunrise. I was up at Husky Sunrise there for a bit in Fort Mac. And, yeah, I was up in northern Manitoba, and, you know, people are selling all their shit, right? Everybody's selling everything because it's 2015 and the oil's in the shitter. And, I took a couple different pay cuts, man. I think at this point I was making $10 less an hour just to stay busy. It was a good year though. You know, like, we bought a brand new vehicle. We went to, Disney World in January, I believe. In January, we went to Disney World, and in November, we went to California, right? And, but, like, I was making $10 less, but the wife was working still at that time, right? We didn't have kids, so, you know, it wasn't so bad, but it was still wild watching. That was going through my first downturn, and, you know, watching everybody just lose everything, right? And the boom bust cycle, man, it's brutal.
Yeah, there was a few real waking calls for us all there to realize that we had needed to live a little bit more within our means, you know.
Oh, shit, dude. That was, you know, I remember trying to get a job in the city when I got laid off, right? And I ended up going to Manitoba instead. But I remember during those couple months I was off, I was trying to get a job in the city, and everyone was looking at me like, oh, you're just a dirty patch worker. You're going to leave us when the patch comes back. Why are we going to hire you and dump money into you and train you? You know, so yeah, sorry, no, but we can't do that. So, you know, that was tough, not having a job, trying to find a job, but being overqualified for that job, or them looking at me as like, you're just going to fuck off anyways. Why do we want you here? And, you know, that's fucking a hard reality to look at when you're struggling like that. But all these years later, keep getting sucked back into the patch life, and turns out, hey, they were right. You know, like, I get a job while I'm in town, I'm leaving it first chance I get.
Well, that's why it's important for us to know that it's, you know, key to diversify our interests and our skills and everything else that goes along with that, so that we can be well-rounded when the downfall comes, that we're not solely reliant on the oil field, because it's, you know, it can be pretty desolate at times, and exactly like you said, it can make it or break it, and that's why a person doesn't want to keep too many eggs in one basket.
Absolutely, which is why you're doing what you're doing and I'm doing what I'm doing, right? I remember it was around that time, shortly after, yeah, because I got laid off in the winter, or November anyway, had a couple months off, went to Manitoba, came back in the spring, got a job on a road crew, and as a laborer, chasing equipment, and I've been there, I leave the oil patch every summer, every spring, I leave the oil patch and I go build roads, because, like you said, right, don't keep all your eggs in one basket. I left the patch. I run equipment. I've been there 10 years and I run equipment. I'm a heavy equipment operator there, and I built something, right? So in every winter I come back to the patch. You know, if this doesn't work out when it eventually tanks again, I always have that, right? So yeah.
Yeah, it's important. Hell, especially, yeah, when you got mouths to feed.
I didn't have mouths to feed back in 2015, man. And my wife was working, right? So it wasn't as important. It wasn't, not as much of the weight was on my shoulders back then, right? Now, yeah. I got 2 mouths to feed and my wife is at home taking care of babies, right? So now it's pretty important now that, you know, I always have a job. I always have income.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, man.
I think it's, yeah, pretty important. I've been drumming up a lot of different business ideas in my mind lately, and I started tapping into some AI, and it feels like it's unlocked a whole new level of brainstorming. You know, it's like the movie Limitless. All the time, you can just constantly think something up and be like, oh, what's the answer to that? Oh, here it is, pretty well immediately. And then you can be like, just have a conversation with it and work out all the kinks to your ideas and jot that shit down. And next thing you know, you've got business proposals and grant writing and contracts and all sorts of shit written up. And like, I've spent the last 30 days just brainstorming like crazy. It's been nuts.
That's awesome. And like, are you able to, and I'm asking, I probably know the answer. Are you able, you want to share some of those ideas or no, you want to keep that on?
Yeah. Yeah, most of it I'm going to probably be keeping on the low. Like, I'm probably going to be running maybe like a Kickstarter campaign to try to help launch some of my projects coming up. We're going to be applying for some grants for music as well. You know, potentially going on some tours. I've got a couple other different ideas in the works too that I better not say too much about. Another funny thing I've been working on lately is I started doing like some geo-alchemy, where I'm taking different types of rocks and dirt and stuff like that and melting them down and turning them into different types of stuff. And the stuff that I'm making looks like extraterrestrial, almost like something that you would see at a UFO crash landing site or something.
I love that, man. Like you haven't posted any of that stuff, have you?
No, I haven't
seen any of that. That's pretty cool, man. No. You're keeping that kind of to yourself under your cap there.
Yeah, just wait until I get the right moves. I was trying to set up a domain that I can sell them at because they're super one of a kind, rare looking stuff. Like I feel like I'm almost making gems.
Dude, that's pretty cool.
Like, I've definitely made some crystallic.
Can you show us some or no?
I could. I would just have to run and grab them.
Oh hell yeah, man! I can wait, dude. People don't want to wait. That's what editing for.
Give me a few minutes.
Yeah, man.
That's right. You. I got you on the wide screen here.
Hell yeah! Like, how big is wide? What are we talking about?
Oh, it's just a laptop monitor or a desktop monitor, but it's, I think, probably 40 inches wide or something.
Oh shit, man, dude! I've always wondered what 40 inches would look like on me. You know.
Yeah, it's so nothing good too special, but it is pretty nice. I got these sick freaking, look at these
LED flashlight gloves. What? That's so cool.
That was one of my Christmas gifts, and I was like, these are sick. I was like, no, I just got to try and make sure that I actually have them with me when I could use them.
Yeah, don't ruin them when you're welding.
No, it'd be mechanic work.
Yeah.
Naturally, working on the trucks.
How many trucks on your fleet? Just one or what?
Well, I've got a couple trucks, but only one of them is rigged up right now. Well, actually, I have three trucks. Okay, I'm going to try and show you some of these weird rocks.
Look at that. You put all that together, like, or did it come like that?
This is just what I made from my geo-alchemy.
That's cool, man.
It's like a pyrometamorphosis. Kind of. I don't know if that helps at all. Can you see that better? No, that's making it worse.
No, that's way worse. Yeah. No, that's good, bro. That was cool, man. Man, that's... How did you look at a bunch of rocks... See a bunch of rocks and be like, hey man, I could do something cool with this. Like, where was your mindset at that? Were you like stoned or something? Or like, how'd that go?
Well, I can't tell you all my secrets.
Ah, okay.
No, it was just a thought I had one day. I was like, I wonder if I could do that. And then I tried it and turned out I could.
Hell yeah. And now your mind is as powerful as you want it to be, right?
Yeah, exactly. I don't know if you can see that one very well or not. Yeah, you can't really see anything good.
Ah, it still looks pretty cool, man. Like, it still looks like something that, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, there's some weird ones. Obviously, you were only in like a 720p or something, I think was the max you could get on this.
Ah,
On
whatever.
this. So you probably won't be able to see him worth it, but
Yeah, it still looks pretty cool, and you're still talking about it. People will still be like, hey, man, I'm interested in that, you know?
yeah, honestly, I feel like there's going to be some Star Wars people that would be after something like this. Oh, I heard a couple of another piece.
That looks pretty neat, though. Like, I know
This
you can't
is
see it as cool as it actually probably is. That's
no,
still pretty
definitely
cool.
not. Yeah,
That's
this rock was really sick, and I like melted it into a bunch of other stuff.
pretty neat,
I'm
man.
just a nerd, buddy. Just a little bit of a nerd on the side.
Whatever, man. Hey, you know what? That makes it all the more interesting, right? Like, you know, you're a welder down there, you know, a father, husband, welder, entrepreneur, hip hop artist. Now you gotta say like an alchemist? Can you say alchemist? You're an alchemist.
Geo-alchemist.
A geo-alchemist. Just add another thing to add to your long list of titles. It's
I'm
badass.
also a recording engineer,
Yeah.
executive producer.
No, man, that's badass. So you said you're going on tour and you brought the music up, man. Like one day you're just welding and you're just like, were you always interested in music or did like the music just sort of come later?
No, I was always interested in it. Just back in the day, a person couldn't really get into making hip hop music in a small town in Alberta.
Yeah.
Back in the day, I had no idea how to do it. I'd never been in a studio. I thought that would be the only way that you could record music. I didn't realize you could do it yourself until it was like 2019. I started dicking around with GarageBand, and then 2020, I released my first song, and I recorded an entire album in a month while working. And we were in the process of finishing our basement at the same time, and we had our fourth kid right at like pretty much the exact same time.
Just fucking
So
busy. Do you ever slow down or what?
I go to bed early.
Do you ever slow down? I go to bed at a decent time.
No,
I love that,
I
man.
mean, I'm
Song.
definitely slowing down in my older age. It's a lot harder to drum up that after work inspiration to do anything extracurricular outside of just being a slave.
Yeah, hey, bro, I hear that, dog. Holy shit. Yeah, man. So how did you come up with the name Too Deep then? Like what was going on there?
Was when I was a kid hanging out at my buddies' houses and stuff. I would be like,
Hanging out
we'd
with the
be up at
mom?
No, we'd be up at like 4 in the morning, like playing Xbox or something stupid, right? And then my buddies would be like, "Hey, shh, keep your voice down, man. Keep your voice down. Can't you whisper?" And I'm like, "I am fucking whispering." And they'd be like, "Your voice is just too deep, man. It's too fucking deep." And then that was how I got the name Too Deep.
Fuck, that's actually a really cool like backstory to that, dude. You know, fucking and the 2020 obviously is because 2020 was the year you launched off, right? Like that was the year
Yeah,
you went
and
like,
I'm also hindsighted.
are you really?
I
I can see out my ass, man.
feel got him.
Got him. Fuck. No, that's good, man. What was the name of your first song that you wrote?
Painted in the right light.
Painted in the Right Light. Cool. Are you
That's the
able to
first
play that
thing
or sing it
you
or what? We got to
can
hear this voice, man. I've heard the voice. A lot of people have heard the voice. But like, you know, what does the voice sound like? Because it is
Let me
it's
see if I
sexy.
can.
You have a sexy
Let me see
voice.
if I can get some beats playing in here for you. I didn't check if I could do that as well.
All right, that's right. I don't even know how to use GarageBand, man. You brought up GarageBand. I've been trying to figure that shit out on my laptop here for like a couple months. I'm trying to edit videos in iMovie and fucking yeah. I'm just learning. Just learning. I gotta watch tutorials on it, I guess. But yeah.
Yeah, I actually don't use GarageBand anymore. That was just in the beginning when I first recorded the first album because I figured out I could do it with my phone and a USB mic into GarageBand. So I didn't actually need a studio or a computer or anything. I had an older laptop, so it wasn't really compatible with any of the up-to-date, most latest versions of the DAWs that I wanted to use. So I basically just used GarageBand because it was super accessible and it was cheap. Free, I should say.
Shit. Man, good for you, man. That's huge, bro. Like, so, like, how did the whole, because you make videos at work and like, you, like, try to integrate your music into it, man. I love seeing that shit. Like, you and Saint Charity, I've seen a couple videos. It might have been like a year and a half, 2 years ago now, but like, you guys are, you know, on site together in the truck, and you're singing and dancing and shit, man. Like, that's part of your music videos.
Yeah, we had a one winter there. We went to work for Straight on that Wolf line from Camrose all the way to Joffrey, basically. And we were on the tie-in crew the whole time, so that was pretty sweet. I got to bring my wife to work to help me for the first time ever, and it was the most gravy job I've ever had on the pipeline. I've never had a tie-in seat for that long on a job. And so that was kind of funny, because, you know, you're like, take your wife to work with you, and you're like, oh, it's a super easy job she's on. So then she thinks my life is super gravy and I'm just complaining for nothing, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Did she get to, you know, eventually, like, did she learn how to weld herself on that job, or does she already know?
No, I taught her how to weld on that job.
Nice, man. Is she good at it?
Oh yeah, she could weld just fine. She was welding corks on the equipment.
She's got the best welder in Alberta helping her out.
That's right.
Yeah, man. No, that's good, man. I like that. And how did you get her involved in your music with you?
Well, when I first met her, I knew she could sing. Like, right away, she was singing around and stuff, and I was like, ooh, and I was like, oh, I should make her get on a song with me. But at that time, I had no idea how to do that. So then I goofed around with a few different apps you could get on your phone and do it that way, but that was never would come out nice. But it never truly came together until I finally paid somebody else to mix and master it. You know, like, I could record stuff and it could sound like okay, but it never sounded like professional. So then when, yeah, I just paid somebody else to do it, to do the mix and then the mastering on the song, then it sounds good.
Fuck yeah, man. No, that's awesome. I used to work with my wife a little bit back in the day. You know, we were 20. We moved to Banff. We worked in a resort up there, man. I love my wife, dude. I will never work with her again.
Yeah, I could see that, how that would happen.
Yeah.
You see it quite a bit in the patch. A lot of people are shacked up with their partner.
Yeah, man. I seen that there's this one, like, almost power couple that I've seen on a few sites. And I met them in the ER room in Edmonton, like, shit, like 8 years ago, man. Actually, it was the last time I saw them. They recognized me right away. I was in there for my appendix, and they were sitting right across from me. She was also having appendix issues, and she's like, man, Dick, I remember you, man. You were on site at Husky Sunrise. I was like, shit, it's the power couple. They refused to, like, they were on the same shift. They worked the exact same position. You know, they were never apart.
Do you remember their names or where they're from?
Oh, I think they live in Edmonton, but I don't remember their names now. That was a long time ago. I used to see them around.
Well, here we go.
Getting the music ready.
Just being here, some music playing, can't you?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
How's that sound? Can you hear my voice and the music both well?
Yep.
Okay, I'll wrap something for you. This is a new one I just wrote.
It's not released yet.
No.
Oh, shit. This is our Eminem is game. Yeah.
I'm a blacksmith finding cash on the steel. Every scar got its own publishing deal. Bad luck feeding similar to some fishing reels. Listen to the rusty chuck whistle and squeal. Fracture bones, a symphony of growing pains. Eat break, a lesson from the towing lane. When I finish these lines, I won't go in vain. The champion spirit forged in the glow of shame. Weathered skin, a map of time and space. Get a rhythm in your vision, never mind the face.
take a particle woven through all divine and pray 7,000 fold to divine the faith. In the depths of turmoil, I discovered my core, contradicted with afflictions galore. The strength of family much better with me, you're more. In their love is my destiny, I can see it form.
Damn, you getting saints on that one?
Oh, yeah.
Hell yeah, man. I love that.
Did you hear that well or what? I didn't.
Yeah, man, I can hear you. I can hear you and the music, like, decently, yeah. This is good, sneak peek, yeah. Bro. That was my Eminem is gay moment. Usually I try to find one, you know, or something where, like, you remember the interview where Eminem came out as gay on that fucking interview show. And, man, I try to find one, at least one, my Eminem is gay moment on my podcast, you know, like something that nobody else knows about this person or something like exclusive. Man, that was an exclusive.
Yeah, I just wrote that.
Fuck yeah. Fuck yeah,
I got
man.
A lot of songs I'm sitting on right now.
You're sitting on like a lot. Like you could probably have like a couple albums, eh?
Yeah. Yeah, man, I'm working on like, that right now.
Yeah. Yeah, man. You were telling me before we jumped on here that you've been home for the last 8 months, right? You get to go home every night and be with the family and shit.
Yes, sir. It's been pretty nice. It's been a good change of pace compared to what I'm used to. Obviously, I'm on the road most of the time, or I have been for the majority of my career, so I've been home for about 9 months straight, pretty well, working 25 minutes from home, which, you know, a lot of times, actually, to be honest, it's been more than that, because I was around home for nearly a full year before that, just working at a different company and traveling a little further.
Nice, man. That's the dream, right? Like, you get to be
almost 2 years.
Yeah, wow, that's awesome, man. Yeah, almost 2 years, so, like, yeah. Pretty much after the last time I saw you, right, in Fox, you know, you kind of transitioned to here. I remember you said you were onboarding for another company or something like that, one of the last times we talked. And then this was probably it.
Yeah, potentially it could have been. I've bounced around a few different spots, which I typically have to every year. You can't stick around one place for too long as well there. They usually run out of work long before that.
Yeah. Man, that's, you know, the podcast is very blue collar, you know, and I find myself, there's a lot of, like, really, really interesting welders, especially among the women. There's a lot of women welders.
It's definitely an equal opportunity because anybody can weld. You teach a monkey how to weld.
Well, like, I don't know. I've tried welding once, like, not seriously tried, but, like, I tried. You know, well, hey, the upcycler can do it. I'm sure I can do it. You follow the upcycler?
I don't think so.
He's on TikTok. He lives in Pigeon Lake, and he makes, like, cool shit out of plastic. Or not plastic. Out of forks and knives and spoons and shit like that. He pickles. Yeah, utensils, man. He's pretty badass.
I think I probably saw some of his work.
Oh, you've definitely seen some of his work. He's all over Alberta with it. So, that's badass, dude. Yeah, but what do you plan on doing like in the next like 5-ish or so years? Like, what, you got a 5-year plan or what?
I kind of thought that, you know, music itself, I figured within 10 years I should be able to turn it into something that's self-sustaining and can basically subsidize the income that I make as a welder, except I wouldn't have the same overhead and I wouldn't have to be gone and I could make my own hours. But I also feel like I need to venture off into a few other different things to try to maximize our capital and try to ensure that our family is going to have a bit of generational wealth maybe down the line if I can, you know, get all my things strumming at the right chord. And I'm really, really trying to work on get the e-commerce going right now and everything that's associated with that. You know, we got to do a lot of content creation, which is very time consuming and more so mentally draining to be like, okay, we got to video ourselves all the time and post videos and blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? Like, for you, it's kind of fun. You're at work. You're just saying shit that you think's funny or you think you need to say. Whereas when we're doing that, it's kind of feels like it's like a forced thing. It's not just like, for me at TikTok, the TikTok presence I have is just me pulling out my phone and seeing shit on the spot, no rehearsing, no nothing. And that's what I would post without even watching the video first. you know. Yeah. So now it's like everything's got to be perfect, and it just feels like a lot more pressure and work. So we're trying to schedule in and have it so that we actually have like a designated videographer that comes and works with us once a month or something. We can do a bunch of batch shooting and put together a bunch of stuff that we can then edit ahead of time and like do a scheduled post on all of our socials and stuff so that we don't have to be actually doing it and involved and everything else all at the same time while trying to be creative and being family people and having a job and having a house to clean and soccer and breakdancing class and everything else that happens. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, man. I 100%. It's sort of like that a lot too, for the way I do it. I know I'm at work and, you know, I have a lot of fun with it, but it is time consuming, you know, and it is, you know, it is exhausting. You know, I put probably just as much time on my phone, you know, during the week roughly as I do, you know, at work. And, you know, cause you got to watch content, get ideas, then you got to come up and try to turn that into something that you're, niche you're following will like and enjoy, right? And then, you know, you throw it out, it shits the bed, right? Back to the drawing board. The next one does fucking phenomenal, so you're like, I gotta ride that wave, right? And then, you know, the podcast you said, you know, trying to create that generational wealth, trying to create something long lasting, right? And, you know, TikTok and Instagram, they're gonna come and they're gonna go, right? The that shit, we already know it's not going to last forever. The Americans just almost lost it. Then it came back, but it's only got like a 90-day fucking, you know, reprieve or whatever. So who knows how long that's going to last? There's a threat of it going away in Canada too. Who knows? But the podcast is one thing that they can't take away from me, right? And, you know, this is on my terms, right? Not theirs. They can't shut this down on me. So I'm here. And it's starting to make me a little bit of money. So, you know, we're having fun with it. And you said earlier you were thinking about getting a podcast going. Man, I think you should do it.
Yeah, for sure. No, I definitely want to. Like I said, as soon as I can kind of get the ball rolling with, you know, working on the government grants, Kickstarter, the different things that I have, I'm brewing on to try to subsidize our welding time, then I can start putting more focus time into doing things that I actually enjoy, such as a podcast or the other ideas I have, music, creating art, you know, traveling, touring, things like that, where it's not going to like cut into my family time. It's going to be then my job where I can, you know, set aside the time for it, do it, and then set aside the time to also live and have a family life.
Yeah, that's huge, man. That is huge. And, you know, right now, same with when I go home, right? You know, I eventually want to make it so, you know, I don't have to work as much, and the internet has, like, by far and away helped me a lot with that. You know, like, I want to see a little bit more sustainability with it, but like, I know if I wanted to, I could probably take the leap, quit my job, and make a full-time run at this. And but also I don't want to get caught holding the bag either, right? But I know it's possible. But there's two babies at home, right? And I gotta be very mindful of that.
Yeah, definitely takes some planning. But I think a lot of times people find the most success when they do just go for it and they jump into the deep end, right? You know, and that's when you're going to learn if you can swim or not.
Absolutely.
You're not going to learn whether or not you can swim when you walk around and up to your ankles like me.
Well, you know, I find the water where I'm swimming is usually pretty warm and yellow, you know. Someone's pissed there before, you know.
The pool ain't gonna piss itself, or is it? Yeah. I don't know. Shit, I only came to visit.
Oh shit, man, write that down. You are, aren't you?
That's already written down.
Of course it is, man.
That's in my song called Be Around.
Actually. Be Around. All right, I'll check that song out later. Man, what are some as a road welder, you know, always on the road and shit like that and whatnot. Like what are some like good funny stories from the road that you have that you can tell? Because we all know there's a lot of stories from the road that we'll take to our graves, but What are some good funny ones that we can talk about, man? Like, you gotta share some of that.
The one time we were at just south of GP working for Paderni's and Paramount, and we were just about to kick off mainlining on this gig that we all mobbed up there for, and we were waiting for the equipment to rattle over to where we were at. So, like, everybody, the whole front end crew, the spread, everybody was there. All the welders, all the helpers, all the laborers, the coders. It was a small inch pipeline, so it wasn't nothing too crazy. But we're all there, and I'm like, hey, we're going to have a welder's helper race. And then the other spacer that was there was like, what? And I was like, yeah, we're having a race. He's like, okay. And he's one of those really yelly, funny dudes. You probably saw him on my TikTok, Zach Wild. So he starts yelling at all the helpers, okay, we're having a race. And the spreads are, he's like, fuck, I've never seen nothing like this before. So we lined up 7 or 8 helpers on the line and fucking sent them running down the right away. And they ran down, you know, a half a joint of pipe to the sling, and or a joint and a half of pipe and back. They're fucking wiping out in the mud and just flying everywhere. And the dude that won was a helper, and he had a fucking, he was a really big, tall dude, smoke hanging out of his lip when he started the race, and he won by like a half a joint of pipe. He just smoked all these other dudes with the smoke hanging out of his lip. I got it on camera from like 5 different angles and edited it all together as like a fucking TSN moment. It was amazing.
No, man, is that posted anywhere?
It's on my TikTok, yeah.
I'm going back to find that. How far down is that shit?
That's a ways, couple.
I'm going hunting. Don't you worry. I'm gonna find that. I'm gonna repost that video.
Yeah, I should actually bring that one back and post it again. They say that's a good way to work the algorithm. Eh? You can just repost the same video sometime.
Oh yeah, man. Well, one of my videos I made, I got like 400,000 views on it the first time I posted it. And then I reposted it again the next year, and it got, it didn't do as well, maybe like 30 grand, right? And then I reposted it again, and it got, and right now it's sitting at 12.6 million.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Well, I know they say in music marketing.
Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, they say in music marketing, like, you gotta have at least like 30 different pieces of content to support each song that you're trying to promote, and that's at a bare minimum. You want to have at least 30 different pieces of content, and then you're going to rerun them too. You're going to just keep advertising with the same content, like cycle it through and then cycle it through again later, just to keep some activity going and getting out there further. That's what the meta ads universe is all about, I think, right? You can't really get a lot of reach. Same with TikTok. TikTok changed, what, a year and a half, 2 years ago? All of a sudden it was like switch. Was flicked, and you couldn't get views like you could before. Before I was like 20,000 to 40,000 all the time minimum, and then it just dropped off to like a couple thousand or less sometimes, you know. And I noticed a ton of creators were experiencing the same thing.
Well, yeah, that happens once in a while, right? And I think that's how you get you weed out the pretenders, right? You know, because a guy like you and me, our views are gonna drop, but we're still gonna be there. Right, we don't give a fuck, you know what I mean? Yeah. Still left standing at the end of that. You got to post your way out of the shit, right? I just throw videos up, and if it's a good video and it does shit, oh well, it does shit. Who cares? I'm still posting every day. I'm still there. I'm still showing up, right? Eventually, I'm going to get out of that, right? And then it feels so good. You're posting, and your views are high and high, right? Then they crash, and you're just like, fuck. But you're still posting. And the moment you come out of that, and like, let's say you're riding like 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 view videos for a little bit. The moment you come out of that and one hits 100,000, you're just like, fuck yeah, here we go. I'm back, baby. I'm back, right? And then like for a while there, you're just like, fuck, am I not funny anymore? Am I shit? Right? You value your whole fucking self-worth off of a fucking video, you know? And it's not good. It's funny as fuck when you're watching back at it.
Yeah, it's kind of just a little fucking time capsule for the years to come, because, you know, how many people How many of us got to, you know, see videos of your dad's personality when he was a kid? Or your grandpa? Like, none of us, we didn't get to see nothing like that. It's like, that's the way I look at my music career, is it's a time capsule for my children, for when I'm gone, and for their children and their children to be like, what, that's what your grandpa thought, man? That's fucking crazy, dude. Like, what? You know what I mean? And I feel like it's like, you know, not just mentally, but emotionally, and like everything that you think goes into the hip hop music, because you have so much to say when you're writing songs that are fucking how many words a song. And, you know, so there's a lot of deep thought there that's going to be left for them to reflect on when I'm gone.
Hell yeah, man. There's a song about oil field life, actually. And it's like, I'm taking all these pictures for my kids, so when I'm dead and gone, they'll know what daddy did, right? And yeah. And that's about, you know, working away and whatnot. But like, you know, I'm making all these videos and taking all these pictures, you know, of my personality, like you said, because when I'm dead and gone, all that, that's all they're going to have left one day of me, right? They're not going to, you know, when my dad goes, there's not many videos of him. I'm going to forget what he sounds like. It's like, fuck, man, I don't have talked to my dad in 4 years. I already forget what he sounds like, right? So, but when I'm dead and gone, my kids are going to be able to, like, what did my dad sound like? I want to hear my dad's voice. Let's go on the internet and oh my God, there's thousands of videos of my dad talking. You know, there's that. And man, I think that's going to be badass, you know, like, and it's kind of also worked as a resume a little bit too, not just for me, but for other people like in blue collar, you know, the blue collar side of the internet. So like, it's pretty happy. I got this new job. I'm at a new job that I was in Fox Creek for 7 years. I'm in Fort Mac now, and I got this job here off of TikTok.
Yeah. No, there's always people reaching out to me on TikTok trying to get jobs like every fucking day.
Yeah, man. And hey, it's become like it's become like that. The internet, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook has become very, like the blue collar side of it anyway, has become like a, hey, I need a job. Can you hook me up? Do you know where I can find it? And man, like I'm constantly getting messages and comments, and it's like, hey, I have this kind of experience. Can you help me out?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's,
yeah, it's not a bad resource. That's for sure. Definitely can be utilized if it's, you know, when in Rome.
When in Rome. Man, do you know what viscosity is?
Yeah.
Like the term. In your own terms, what does viscosity mean?
The density of a liquid.
The density of a liquid. All right. So where I'm going with that is the podcast is sponsored by the Mudman. And you know what the Mudman does on the rig, right? The Mudman, you know, he pours into the Viz cup and he tests the viscosity. If he needs to add more shit, he adds more shit. If he needs to take away, he takes away, right? The podcast is sponsored by the Mudman, and the Mudman deals in for all your laboratory testing. Wow, I fucking that up again. For all your laboratory testing equipment and whatnot, the Mudman's got your back, man. www.mudmanmarket.com. And, you know, the guy hooked me up when the podcast first started with a headset and a microphone. You know, I was like 14 episodes deep and the podcast audio wasn't very good. And he had my back. And then this past summer, you know, I got to get off my phone. The guy bought me a brand new MacBook Pro, and that's what I record on now. You know, so shout out to the Mudman, man. You know, how thick is your load, right? He's got your back. And I know, yeah. I know what that sounds like. How thick is your load, buddy?
And then when the mud's not too deep.
Oh, shit. I like how that went. Man, as a guy in my mid-30s, I'm going to be 36. When is this? Okay, last week, I guess. as a man in my mid-30s, my loads are never thicker than they are right now. They'll never be this thick again. I'm shooting fucking, like, Skittles out there, bro. Like, thick fucking, oh, that's wrong. Starburst? Starbursts are pretty thick. So I'm shooting Starburst out like. Oh my God!
You might have a yeast infection.
Oh my God! Well, no, that's not Texas toast, man. Texas toast.
The one thing I did want to mention too, while I was on here with you, is like we submitted one of our songs. One of our songs that we released this year is going to be submitted for consideration with a Juno Award.
Oh shit. Really?
So hopefully, yeah. Well, I guess for a nomination is what it goes to first. So yeah. Fingers crossed, we might get a nomination. Probably not, but it would be pretty sick.
Man, that'd be so cool. Man, if you don't try, if you don't ask, the answer is always no, right? Then yeah. What do you have to lose? You have nothing to lose. Hey, throw your song up there. What's the worst they could say? No, you try again another time, right? That's fun. Yes, that's sir. Man, that's cool. Good for you, buddy. That's huge. What's at stake here then? Like it, nothing, obviously. There, but if you do get it, what are we looking at?
To be honest, I didn't even look up what I would win if I won the Juno Award or a nomination. I didn't look what that would entail. I just know that it's kind of a good look for all the music elites basically in Canada, because that's the top award you can get in Canada as far as music goes. So to be in there and being looked at by anybody involved in the Junos is kind of gives us a good look and brings a little bit of a little light to shine on our art. So, I mean, there's that. And that's probably the main reason why I submitted for it in the first place was networking.
What song?
Vibe and Chill. You want to hear
it? Vibe and Chill. Yeah, I just took a... Yeah, let's hear it. I just took a picture for the socials, man. I'm going to post a picture of us podcasting, you know, as a sneak peek. Like, hey, the shit with Too Deep is about to drop, you know? Like, I think this one will probably drop in 2 weeks, man. We'll be episode 111. We just passed 100. 111.
That's wicked.
111.
You hear that?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. I just want to rock and chill. Money in the bank, no big deal. My wife got sex appeal. We gon' live life like it's so unreal. I just want to rock and chill. Money in the bank, no big deal. My wife got sex appeal. We gon' live life like it's so unreal. Love my fiance, lay back a bit.
You can play the playthrough, or fuck, it doesn't matter to me, man. Fuck, that's a banging tune.
Yeah, here comes my part.
Yeah.
I just wanna vibe and chill without the goosebumps. We don't gotta kill, either we can do some, but we don't gotta do nothing if the snooze happens. Let me do get out of the house. You shoot, I've been smoking like an old two coming with the million gonna dash in the whole you nothing. Deep a fucking face, I can no do nothing. I'm only here to perform, I don't do nothing. You may have been irritated, but you can never be it. So I got the team destroyed, be destroyed. Fine line work like a Japanese horse. Hunger pain, running deeper than an unemployed villain. Let your matter villain, play some patterns. Wanna win big, gotta break the patterns. Race the stop, tell stop, take the ladder. Now tell I'm up in your mama's favorite rapper.
Man, who's on the, who else is on that track?
My wife and then a dude named Annoyed from Connecticut.
Oh, shit. Vibe and chill. I'm adding that shit to my drive to work playlist for tomorrow, man. I'm going to listen to that on the way to work. Fuck, man. Charity's got, like, the voice of an angel, you know?
Yeah, she's a saint.
Fuck, man. Yeah, dude. Oh, hey, that's where it comes from, right? Like, damn. Man, that's incredible, man.
It was actually because one night we were partying really hard, and I had eaten some mushrooms, and and drank way too much and was being a total idiot. And then we were going to bed and she was like, baby, you better go pee. And I started mouthing off to her. And then I ended up pissing the bed that night and she didn't kill me in my sleep. So everybody at the party in the morning laughed at me all morning saying how my wife's a saint.
Is that how she got her name?
Yeah.
No way. That is that like the origin story of Saint Jerry? Yeah. No yeah. way. Yeah. I love that, man. That's yeah. Oh man. My wife's got a really oh my god, we got a really cool story, man. How long have you been with your wife?
We got married in 2014, so we've been married 11 years.
So, good for you, man. I've been with my wife, we've been together about 20 years. We've been married for 12 now. I remember it was this after high school? High school might have just ended. And we're from Ontario originally. And we went up north there it's not really north, but I'm from the deep south of Ontario. And we went up north to, go camping and hang out with family and shit like that after grad. And my dad, he drove home. We took the Greyhound, right? We're like, we're just going to Greyhound at home. We're going to enjoy a little, a little bus ride by ourselves. So we get to Toronto, and from Toronto to home, we're the only ones on this bus, right? And this is crazy because, like, we're sitting at the back, and she's going to kill me when she hears this story. She fucking gave me the Gluck Gluck 9000 from Toronto to home on a Greyhound bus, man. You don't hear me giving her a nickname, Sucky Sucky Greyhound, or the Super Sucker Greyhound or whatever, can you imagine? Can I give her fucking Greyhound Sucker or something? I don't know. We got to come up with
a call name. Her the old Greyhound.
Oh, shit. Yeah. I'm bringing that up here. The old Greyhound,
Yeah. I got to get me my old Greyhound.
Yeah, yay, baby. Yeah,
I always used to tell people ever since I joined this new fundraising group, I've been giving all my dick to charity.
I love that. I like that one. Shit. Fuck, man. That's good. I like it, man. Fuck. Oh. Hey, I didn't know you could make my dick blush, but here we are.
look, my dick's blushing again. Honey. Honey, come look at this. Does that look all right?
Shit. Hey, you better test it orally,
Yeah. Suck the poison out.
So fuck, man. No, that's good, man. That's good. I love that shit. Those stories are awesome. I love that shit for the podcast, man. Like, fuck yeah. I also, the podcast was also recently sponsored by BetterHelp too. So like, I'm pretty pumped for that, as men in the trades and shit like that, we all go through shit, it's disproportionately higher with men in the trades, the suicide rate and the depression and shit like that, you give a fucking young kid who's got millions of mental health issues, $100,000 a year to start. He's 18. He's going to do dumb shit with it. So, mental health is huge. I've recently discovered things about my mental health that, my dad had, my grandfather had, and, I just went through the ringer this year and I'm realizing shit about myself. There's a reason why I talk the way I talk and the reason why I joke the way I joke. And, it's all a shield. It's all, my wall comes up and I get inappropriate at the right. I'm going to say I get inappropriate at the wrong time, but it's the right time,
Yeah. Yeah. Just to keep yourself defended.
Yeah, man. It's my defense mechanism. My coping mechanism is to joke around in serious moments. I recently realized, when moms and dads split up, right? The kid usually gets 50-50 or whatever, split custody, whatever it is. Fucking my parents split when I was 6 years old and I went with my dad. My mom moved 8 hours away and I saw her once or twice a year, maybe. And, you know, that was some crucial moments, you know, for a 6-year-old boy. He needed his mom. He needed both his parents, really. But like, that was tough realizing that this year. I got a big mom wound, you know, and, you know, even to this day, we barely talk, and it's not her fault, you know, and I don't talk to my dad. And my wife actually is the one who brought it up. She's like, hey, like, I see this happening in you. I disassociated this year for 7 months. I disassociated and I came out of that Christmas Eve. And when I came out of it, I was like, what the fuck happened? I watched like a trail of destruction behind me. And, you know, it was, holy shit, man. You know, like, what the fuck happened? And learning about myself that, you know, I have borderline personality disorder. And, you know, what was crazy about that, reading up on all the shit that comes with that, is it's very, very scary and very freeing at the same time. I'm scared because of what society is going to, how society will treat me with that and what people will think about me with that. But at the same time, it's so freeing because there's an explanation for the way I feel. There is a reason for everything that I do. And I've got answers, you know, and we can work on, you know, fixing that, you know, and yeah. It's so much freer fighting a war where you know your enemy.
Yeah.
Right. So yeah, like,
for sure. No, absolutely.
It's pretty wild, man. It's a wild ride. And every day I'm learning more and more about myself, and I listen to podcasts to help a lot. And this one podcast said something pretty interesting, is that men are looked at as angry, right? Mm-hmm. How do men project their fear when they're sad? Their sadness comes off as anger because you respect the ape. You respect the angry ape, right? The feral ape. Mm-hmm. The feral ape gets respect, right? So fear in men comes off as anger. And that was huge. That was huge. When I'm getting angry and blowing up, it's because I'm scared, right? That's the mind. Yeah. The mind's a powerful tool. It's wild.
For sure.
Yeah, man.
Well, maybe you need to come work beside me as a welder and I'll scare you all day and then you won't get angry anymore.
I saw your video, man. You like startling people. Yeah, I've seen that. Yeah. I do the same shit at home, man. Every chance I get, I'm scaring the shit out of my wife and kids.
Yeah, it's a little thing sometimes.
Yeah, buddy. Hey, man, I don't want to take up too much more of your time. You know, you probably want to get hanging out with your kids for the remainder of your evening. But, you know, I like to wrap the podcast up with one last question. Or if you have anything else you want to add in there, feel free, man. Like, if you want to talk about anything else, too.
Well, you know what? I would like to mention that if anybody wants to support us or anything like that, you can go to our website and we've got merchandise on there. It's www.2deep2020.com, just like my name. And then, I mean, you can follow us on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. I don't really do anything on Twitter. TikTok, Spotify, Apple, YouTube, anything and everything. Give us a follow, share that shit, show it to your friends. Every little bit helps. And we're going to be probably doing some live shows April, maybe in Calgary, Edmonton, Red Deer. We're going to be doing shows probably throughout the year, but I'm going to pull it back a little bit. So there's going to be less frequent shows, but hopefully higher qualities.
Hell yeah, man. Let me know when you're in Edmonton. You got to let me know. I would love to go to a show in Edmonton, you know, Where would you play that show? Rogers? You're gonna sell at Rogers, right?
Hey, hell yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Where would the venue for that be?
It just depends who, like, I'm probably not planning on booking my own headline show in Edmonton anytime soon. I'm gonna start working a lot more on the back end of the e-commerce and the content creation and just constantly uploading content before I start trying to book my own headline shows. But I believe we're going to be potentially be in Edmonton with a guy named Mindflip, who's a hip hop artist out of Quebec, who's actually super dope. He's got like a Tupac kind of production sound to his, he's really good artist. Actually, I've been listening to him for a while. So it's always nice when we get to open for people that I actually listen to and enjoy their music.
Hell yeah. That makes
it. But yeah, it could be. It could be anywhere. It could be at the Starlight Room. It could be at what's that other big venue in Edmonton? I was just there for a contest.
I know there's the Moon, right?
Well, what's the one where the Night Shift Entertainment hosts all the stuff at? The Union.
The Union?
Yeah. Union Hall.
That's cool, man. But I know Uncle Hack performs at the Moon, right? You ever follow Uncle Hack? Do you know Uncle Hack?
I know who he is, yeah.
Hell yeah, man. Have you ever met him?
I haven't met him.
Man, no. I love Uncle Hack. Love him. Yeah. Love him to death. Man, the kind of content I create, I always say Uncle Hack kind of paved the way for people like me.
Right.
Yeah. I make oil field content. Uncle Hack made oil field content, right? Like, first guy, he started off on YouTube, right? So, you know, kind of paved the way for the rest of us.
That's sweet. I didn't actually realize that.
Yeah, man, he's badass. Man, thanks for coming on the podcast, dude. I really appreciate it. This is my baby. And like, you know, like I said, maybe my legacy, you know? I don't know.
Dude. If it's legacy, to be here.
It's a great I like to wrap the podcast up with one last question, you know, and it's, you know, Mount Rushmore has four of the most influential people up on the rock. And if you could have your own Mount Rushmore, four people that you look up to, inspire to be, or that have inspired you, who would they be and why?
I'm going to have to pass on that one.
Pass. Shit. I would put Too Deep on that rock, man. Look at that logo you got on your head. That would be the logo up on the rock.
Nah, I'm pretty humble.
Pretty humble? All right. You got no one to put on the rock?
Nah, man. Everybody, too many false prophets out there. I ain't really trying to. There's some people, you know, that I would look up to personally, but I wouldn't hold them up for anybody else to be looking at like that necessarily. Nobody deserves to be too idolized.
No, that's fair. That's a pretty decent answer in itself, man. You know, like,
there's too many false idols.
That's true. Yeah, I was thinking, like, they could be fiction. They could be real, not real. They could be dead or alive, you know, like people that were close to you, your mom, your dad, whatever. But, yeah, man, I know my dad's up on the rock as someone that I don't want to be. But as the more I get older, the more I go through my own shit, I realize that dude was also going through his own shit. He didn't have anyone to talk to about it.
Yeah, well, that's another thing person has to remember is that everybody's going through it for the first time. None of us have done this before.
Amen to that.
No matter what position you're in, if you're the boss or you're the kid or you're the dad or you're the mom or you're the sister, you don't know how to do it. We're all learning how to navigate this venture as we go.
Absolutely. What are you learning as you go? What are you taking away from it?
Oh man, you're learning every single day. Like, you know, you learn a lot about yourself when you become a parent. You see what they do and you're like, oh, they're doing what I'm doing. Jesus. Do I do that all the time? Like, you know, and you start to realize what it is about you that you can see in them that you can realize is like, okay, you know what? This is just a phase in their life anyway. Or, you know what I mean? I was like that too, probably, or, you know, and just trying to, one of the biggest takeaways I've been having in life lately is how flawed and failed the school system is. And the fact that none of us were taught how to invest or how to manage our money. So that's why we're all slaves, which is what they've designed that to be, is just a way to teach slaves how to be subservient slaves. Yeah. So I've been really trying to, expand my knowledge lately into every avenue I can to just have a better bearing of how people navigate the world financially in order to be successful.
Fuck yeah. Hey man, I took a class in school in Ontario. I failed math a bunch. Grade 9 math was, I hate math. But like, so they dumbed it down for me. They put me in something called essentials math. And what they did is you don't get a credit for it. They dumbed it down. They made it so you got it, and then they threw you back in with the rest of the kids. Well, I was in there for a couple months. What they taught me was fucking taxes. They taught me taxes. They taught me, like, fucking, if you had this much money and they took away this and you had this much money, how much of a house could you afford? You know, they taught me the shit you need to be knowing.
They dumb it down. Not enough of it. Not enough of it that you actually could be successful with it, with the information.
Exactly. Exactly, man. And they don't give a credit for that. They call that the stupid class. Can you believe that?
I'm pretty sure I got put in that class too there, but.
Yeah.
All right, hey, buddy. Well, it was great chatting with you.
Yeah, buddy. You have a good night, man. Thanks for coming on the podcast, man. And, you know, stay frosty.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
All right. Peace.
Peace, love, chicken.